Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 7th, 2012, episode 547, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
And it's Freestyle Friday. Well, there's a little TSO to get you going on this Friday morning on Freestyle Friday here at the Horses in the Morning Show. Hey, Jamie, did you see my Gangnam Style video?
You know what? I got to admit something, because I'm pretty sure you're going to play it, but I did not watch it simply for the fact that I did not want to get that song stuck in my head all day long.
Actually, I'm not going to play it. Because yes. It was actually just a jib-jab thing. So, but it put my face in it and thought it was kind of funny, so I posted it.
Awesome.
It's the closest you're going to get to me doing Gangnam Style anything. So,
yeah.
But I just wanted to prove I was hip.
That does not prove anything. You're more unhip having a jib-jab video of yourself. Sorry.
Well, a couple people liked it.
Now, Dan, let me ask you this. You made it of yourself?
Yeah, but Jib Jab, it's very easy. You just put put a picture in.
Why wouldn't you do it of your wife or something? You know, I mean, at least make fun of somebody else instead of make fun of yourself.
I was proving how cool I was. Everybody else has a Gangnam Style video, and I was just proving how cool I was.
That was an epic fail.
Most of the times when I try and prove how cool I am is an epic fail, so that's true. Hey, it is Pearl Harbor Day. I wanted to mention that. December 7th, 1941, 71 years ago today. We wanted to mention that's a day we definitely should never forget. And now you went to Hawaii. Did you get to Pearl Harbor?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Are you kidding me? First of all, my husband's in the military, and he'd been there already, and it's the first place he took me when we actually landed in the airport of Hawaii, got our rental car, and drove to Pearl Harbor. And
what
of course,
is it kind of surreal being there, and even after all these years?
Yeah, it's a very moving experience. I think it's probably a little bit different for each person that was there. Now, I didn't have anybody in my immediate family affected, but he did. So it was kind of interesting to share in that with him, where it was a historical place to me. It was a more personal place to him. So that was kind of cool to share that.
Yeah. Well, our thoughts are still with the families. There's very few left anymore. They're in their high 80s and 90s of the ones who are left from Pearl Harbor that survived that attack. But there still are a few out there, not many. Apparently it's in the low hundreds now, so there aren't a lot left anymore. But today we definitely should never forget. Well, Jennifer, it is Freestyle Friday. What are we doing today?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, following a standard period of not-so-standard equine-infused banter, Shauna Koresh will be stopping by amidst her whirlwind worldwide teaching tour with a little bit of take-home training advice, and Really Bad Ads returns with its weekly reprisal of the laugh fest that you have all come to expect from the quality programming here on Horses in the Morning.
Now, let me hold on.
All right, I'll stop it. Go ahead.
Jennifer, you tell lies. You just tell lies, okay? Nobody expects to laugh. It's not going to be hysterically funny, anything like that. Just tell it like it is. It's like we're going to have Shauna, and then we're going to have some ads that may or may not be funny, and somebody's going to win a prize. I mean, you don't have to give it flowery language.
My Daily Winnie goes out. It's a birthday Daily Winnie to Gemma Koontz, who's one of our contributors every week to Really Bad Ads and one of our good listeners. So it wouldn't be a birthday without this. Happy birthday, Gemma.
You know what? It's kind of a sad one, actually. My Daily Winnie goes out to everybody at Claiborne Farms. They had a really tough day yesterday. One of the leading sires in the country, Pulpit, who is the father of Tappet, who is the father of Hansen, to put it into kind of terms that you would understand, Glenn. This has been one of the leading sires for the last several years. I mean, he's 18 years old. He was totally healthy. And he died in his paddock yesterday. Very shocking, very sad. And, you know, he's fortunately got a whole legacy of horses that are running, you know, and continue on through him. But just a really sad day yesterday. And it goes to show you that even in places as fancy and awesome as Claiborne Farms, stuff like this happens. You know, it kind of makes those places seem a little bit more real to me when they're like, oh, my gosh, my horse died, and I have no idea why. You know, how many times has stuff like that happened to our listeners and our friends and us? So, you know, they're feeling it over there at Claiborne Farms. Of course, their horse is worth, like, bazillions of dollars. So, but we wish well to everybody over there kind of going through that and to Claiborne, to Pulpit's, you know, caretakers and family out there, and just kind of a sad day. I don't know if they're going to do a necropsy. I'm not sure. It doesn't say in the article in the Blood Horse, but they are going to bury him at Claiborne Farms, of course, with the likes of Secretariat.
Was he still actively doing his duty?
Yeah. He's got a whole bunch of weanlings this year, or yearlings, well, coming yearly.
Every guy always says that's how they want to go out. That's how we want to leave this earth. He got to do it.
He didn't die breeding, Glenn, but he did die after a really epic breeding season. So there you go.
Yeah, well, it was his career. He died happy. He died happy.
Yeah, sure. Bless his heart.
Speaking of dying, we have a mass suicide going on here at the farm in Florida.
What?
Squirrels are committing suicide left and right. We have a lot of squirrels in the neighborhood here. Jennifer has been going out in the mornings and finding squirrels dead in the bucket. How many this week, Jennifer?
Three. Week's not
three.
Over yet.
And then the other morning she was out putting hay in the field, and she hears this squealing and splashing and everything, and she goes over and there's a squirrel attempting to commit suicide in the bucket, which she happened to get that one out. But apparently squirrels are just in the suicidal mode here. I don't know what's in the air, but look out.
They've been reading the Mayan calendar.
Yes. Well, you know what? That's amazing because, you know, I hear of rats dying in the water buckets. I boarded at a place that was overrun with rodents, like disgustingly so. Like you flip the lights on at night and the floor would move. The owner of the farm did not like cats because cats walked on his windshield and his car and got it dirty. So
he'd rather have rats walk on his
feet. Rather have a billion rats. And those suckers would climb up to drink out of the water buckets and would drown. I can see that, but I can't imagine a little squirrel not being able to wiggle its way out of there. But
let's clear this up, though, Jamie. These are not little
right.
squirrels.
That's what I mean.
These things are the size of a Great Dane.
And it's not water. It's not your little water bucket either. These are manure buckets, muck tubs.
Oh, gotcha.
Not little 5-gallon water buckets. It's the muck tubs we put outside for the horse. And, yeah, they've been diving in there and apparently can't get out. Now, Jennifer, you have solved the problem, you hope, right?
Well, I have. This morning I installed a ladder, which is a piece of rope that is attached to the side of the bucket and a rock on the end of it so it hangs to the bottom so that when the said rodent makes a miscalculation and tips head first into my water barrel, at least he can get back out.
Okay. Let's come up with a different plan here. I would imagine that, first of all, it is probably not very healthy to have rodents in your horse's water. It probably is a little deterrent for your horse to drink when he sees a scurrying around rodent in his water. So there's two things that's going to make him not really want to drink. So why don't you just make like a little tide pool, a little play pool for the squirrels? Because obviously they're starving. They're so thirsty. They're about to die.
Okay,
well,
Jamie.
Well, we do have one. It's called a bird bath, and it's in the front yard.
I hate to do this, Jamie, but what do we do? Put a little sign up that says squirrels only play here, not in the horse's water bucket?
Well, what are you going to put? Directions head this way to bird bath.
That's what we need. More signage. It works for the Department of Transportation.
Yeah, this way to bird bath. No drowning here. Right this way, people.
It is a concern, though. I mean, it can't be good having squirrels taking baths in the horse's water bucket, but how do you stop them? You can't put a lid in the water bucket the horse can't drink. Now, you could put 5-gallon buckets, but that doesn't stop them from getting in and coming out.
Right.
No.
I'm just going through a lot of soap right now, let me tell you. A lot of soap.
Well, then you have to deal with the little dead carcass and everything. It's just disgusting. Oh.
Well, we have something to say. If you're still having gopher what were you having out there?
Gophers.
If you're still having gopher problems, just big water buckets. Seems to work fine.
Yeah. Mine don't. But we have had two drown in the hot tub, so they were.
Oh,
really?
Grosser.
Yeah, find them when you pull the the little skimmer thing. Poor Chad. He goes to like empty the skimmer and he reaches out and pulls the top off. Ah! Skimmer. I don't know.
Oh, and they're ugly.
Yeah, they're gross.
I'd rather have a dead squirrel. At least they're not as ugly.
But the point is, they're thirsty, Jennifer. They need some water. At least you give them a little ladder. But I would say just a little squirrel play pool just to the outside of your water. I would think those black rubber, you can do anything to it, indestructible little black rubber tubs that are very shallow, maybe like 4 inches tall. Throw one of those next.
Sure. And I'm going to get some little tiny beach umbrellas and some sunscreen for them and a little case of tiny beer cans. Yeah.
Little bit mini Coronas. Oh, it'd be so cute. That's great. What a good idea. You're such a good person.
Yeah. Well, now I know why on the big commercial farms down here, the waterers are shaped like a funnel sitting on its skinny end. Well, now I know why. It's so the squirrels can't get in.
You know what? If you go to I was in Target yesterday, and if you go to where, because I needed some hummingbird seed, so juice or whatever, so I get to the bird aisle, and I notice that every single bird feeder in the entire place claims to be squirrel proof. Squirrel no more. Squirrel proof. This, that, whatever. Those suckers are going to eat whatever they want. They're going to drink whatever they want. They do not even have a way to keep them out of the water tubs. This is proof. These suckers are so smart. They're like velociraptors on Jurassic Park. They figure problems out.
Well, you know what they're doing now? Because it's acorn season, we have all these live oak trees. Well, there's a bazillion little acorns. I mean, and they're you can go outside and you can stand there, and in a matter of 10 minutes, you can count 100 acorns that hit the ground around you, and they hit your head. And the squirrels, I think, are throwing them at us now because the trees are a little too accurate. I mean, you get hit in the head if you're out underneath those trees. I think the squirrels are throwing them at us. I really do.
Here he comes, guys. Got him. Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. I was wondering if my squirrels that live around here, would they much rather just hop a taxi and head down to Florida with oak trees? Because, you know, if you see a squirrel in Arizona, it's about 4 inches long. There's, like, no hair in the tail. It looks starving. I think that's called a gerbil, isn't it? It's something sad. Oh, my God. The poor things are starving to death. They're like, where are all the acorns?
This is squirrel heaven. This is really where squirrels apparently go to die. But it's squirrel heaven because there's tons of acorns here. And you know what else is a problem is Beaker, our quarter horse, who has taken the liking to eating the acorns. He will sift out to find the acorns, so we've been doing some reading on that, and apparently large quantities of acorns will cause some problems. Small quantities won't, but large quantities will. So we've had to restrict him from going to certain places because he's taken up eating the acorns instead of the hay and the grass and everything else. Apparently they're a tasty treat for horses.
Well, Beaker will eat anything. I mean, we've proven that.
That's true. Jennifer, why don't you go ahead and call our guest? So that's what's going on here at the farm, which we still haven't named yet. We've been here almost a year. We haven't named this farm. We're delinquent.
I really liked your name, Radio Ranch. I think that's – I don't care if it's taken. You got to use it.
Yeah,
it's not like you're getting an LLC.
That's true. I still like it, too. Yeah, maybe we'll just go with that, Radio Ranch.
There you go. Problem solved.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie.
I have a problem that I have not solved, and I want to know – if the listeners not, maybe they've had some dealings with this, but I came home yesterday to find in my front yard a hawk that stands about at least two feet tall with one of my chickens. And of course my chicken did not make it and it was very sad. And I'm just heartbroken about it, but I see it, and I'm pulling in the driveway, and I'm like, hey, and I go chase the hawk. I'm like, get off my chicken, and I go running for the hawk, and it, like, looks at me, hops up, and flies to the fence that's about 10 feet away. Well, of course, you know, not that I have a gun, not that I'd shoot anything, but I'm not allowed to shoot hawks. You're not allowed to really mess with the hawks because they're protected, and you'll go to jail. Well, it wouldn't matter if I messed with this hawk because I ran, chased him again. I was like, get off the fence. And I've been painting jumps, so I had a can of spray paint that was sitting right there, and I grabbed it, and I go to throw the spray paint at him, and I chuck it at him, and he just kind of, like, looks at it and moves over 2 feet and goes to the next fence over, where I realize that his mate of about 2.5 feet tall is standing there as well. And then I look up in the sky, and there's another hawk circling overhead. So clearly I dropped the paint can and ran, and I'm like, come on, chicken, 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 because my chickens come when you call them. Why wouldn't they? I call all my chickens, and I get them in the coop, all of them except for this one. And it's weird because they were all hiding. Half of them were already in the coop, and half of them were underneath the, like, front porch. So they knew what was going on. They saw the hawk, and they went and hid. But is there any way to keep hawks out of your property? You know, does it work like they say the mosquitoes with the little spinny CDs? Do I have to go buy owl things? You know, what would help keep the hawks away from my girls? These girls are my pets, and I'm just heartbroken that poor Stella died yesterday. And Stella is the... She was Chad's favorite, and it makes me very sad. And there's, you know, my little happy chicken is my favorite chicken in the whole wide world, and she's tiny. I am going to sleep. She's living in the house now, for all I, you know.
I just pictured when you were telling this story, I was going, oh, my God, she's bringing all the chickens in the house. That was what I pictured, was all the chickens in the house.
I'm
the
not
dogs
kidding
and the cats.
Happy is it? All my other chickens are pretty big. Stella and Happy were little, and they got Stella, and Happy is my, like, I'm sorry. You know, like, I carry that chicken around like a child. When I have a child, I'll have a child in one arm and a chicken in the other. That's how much I love the chicken. So she's going to have to live in the house. I don't know what
else
to
do. Do you let
them
out every day, or do you?
Yeah,
I guess you just have.
We have 3 acres, man. They the whole 3 acres is fenced in. Not that they'd run away, but I let them out every single day. And then at night, they all go back into their coop and they wait for the door to be closed. And as soon as I go out and feed in the morning, they're by the door going, let us out. And so I let them out. And so they're going to be pretty pissed off when they don't get to go out today until I figure out a way to get rid of the hawks. So this would be like a pretty awesome Facebook question if anybody could help me. And maybe I'll type this in while you guys are talking to Shauna. And just, it's so frustrating because you want to have free-range, happy chickens, and you don't want them to be picked off by the 3 freaking 2.5-foot-tall hawks. That hawk, Frank, my cat, is in the house now. Because those hawks would take a cat. Those hawks would take a small child.
Yes,
they would.
They will, actually. We have a ton of hawks here in the neighborhood, and owls, too, big owls. We have about a 100-pound owl out here. It's huge, the biggest owl I've ever seen. And I was just talking to a neighbor yesterday. It's funny you bring this up, because they have little chihuahua-type dogs, and
they
let them run around the yard. Well, during the day, that owl swooped down and picked up that chihuahua, got him about 10 feet off the ground, and the chihuahua squirmed enough that the owl dropped and fell to the ground, and the owners happened to be outside. They saw the whole thing happen, and they went over, and, you know, they managed to get the dog. They had to take him to the vet because he had huge claw marks on his back. But, so it happens. I don't know how you solve that problem, because you're right. They're protected. You're not supposed to do anything with them. You'll need to post that on Facebook, because I don't know. We were told when we moved to this neighborhood, you do not have cats outside. If you have cats outside or you can't have free-range chickens or cats because the hawks and the owls will eat them.
You're kitty.
Exactly. So nobody does. You don't see cats roaming around the neighborhood. Like we used to see in Kentucky all the time, there'd be cats everywhere, but not here. You just can't do it.
So, huh.
Yeah. I don't know how to solve that. Maybe post that on Facebook. We'll find out if we get an answer today. Well, we have our first guest on the line. Our first guest today is Shauna Koresh. She's a regular here on the show. We're usually talking about training and things. She's, of course, from On Target Training, or the expert in clicker training. Used to work for SeaWorld for many years and has worked with horses for many, many years. And you're getting up early today, Shauna.
I am up early. It's still kind of darkish here.
Should be.
Darkish.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's foggy and it's starting to be light, but I don't see any cats or anything.
Are you in California right now?
I am.
Yeah. Well, we have to talk to you about, apparently, you have a paperback that has just come out. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it is my book that I actually was first printed in 2000, but I've been getting so much good feedback from it, people, how it's helped them along the years. So I finally now have got it reprinted into paperback, and it'll actually be, I got a copy, and then they have to do a little tweaking, the publisher, so it'll be coming out next week. So, yep, it's all good too. It's, you can train your horse to do anything.
And what's in it? Tell us about what they'll get. By the way, this would make a great Christmas gift.
Yeah, it would. And it's for any horse person. So it's basically, you know, at SeaWorld what we applied is, now this sounds all like technical, it's applied learning theory, but it's basically what motivates your horse, how your horse thinks, and it's scientific. It's not, I mean, the background is scientific. So what I basically do is I take it from the scientific terms and put it into layman terms and very user-friendly. And the best part is it really applies to, it really appeals to your common sense. So as you start reading it, you're like, of course that makes sense. Why didn't we ever think of that? So it's and it is all science. I've just helped to make it very applicable and understanding how it works. And it will change the way, it will change your relationship and the way you look at your horse, because it'll give you so much insight into how they process information, how they learn.
Terrific. And that's also available on DVD and video too?
Yes, the DVD is a little bit different, but it is. The DVD came out at the same time with that. Yeah, and a downloadable video. So it's also called You Can Train Your Horse to Do Anything, and it covers the principles. And then it really, and also in the book, too, it shows you how to get started with using the positive reinforcement in a constructive way and how to teach them to, you know, have good manners and get started with the clicker and how to condition that. So all the little pieces that go into it. But the DVD's nice because it actually, there's so many people that it's like, I just show me. And then there's other people like, oh, no, I need to read it. So, it, you know, I kind of do both of them so they can appeal to either or. So
now let's get on to the thing that caught my attention in the show notes here today.
Mm-hmm.
And you're laughing because you know what I'm going to bring up.
I do. I know where you're going to go.
You have a new DVD out on sheath cleaning?
I do. You know, I... Okay, what happened? Is somebody...
You're speechless. I'm speechless when I'm reading this. You're speechless. You can't even tell us about it.
It is really... It was really fun to make because it was just full of little things. You'd say things and go, it's going to change your relationship. And you're like, oh, yeah, it is. And then you're, you know, there was so many little things in it that are just, it's almost like sophomoric, you know, it's like little kid kind of thing. But I, as I looked around, nobody had anything about sheath cleaning. And I've had a horse who has to be cleaned. He can't go twice a year. He needs to be cleaned all the time. And so I just, you know, I just got used to cleaning it all the time. And it's really simple and it's really easy. But as I looked around, I realized there's not anything really out there that tells you and actually shows you how to clean the sheath. So while a lot of it is, there's the little technical part of where do you find the bean, how do you deal with, you know, smegma, which is the sebaceous cheesy substance. Anyway,
oh,
but
I apologize to everybody eating breakfast right now. We're sorry about that.
That's like a definition.
Cheese cleaning and cheese in the same sentence. Shut up, please.
Oh, God. I knew I shouldn't have brought this up.
You shouldn't have brought it up. So I show you how to do it, but the more important thing is teaching the horse to stand still for it. Because I think that's the toughest part, really, is getting him to the horse. So it's the behavior side of teaching how to desensitize him to standing still and using the positive reinforcement. And then there is, you know, showing you actually where all that junk is, so to speak.
There's so much here. And how many different horses volunteered? Did you take volunteers for this job, or did you enlist?
I had just had two. So one kind of learning and one the old steady guy that you could just say, here it all is. I actually, even because he's so comfortable with it, he just stands quietly, but I just reach up into his sheath cavity and go clean it in there. So I actually had him a little sedated so it would drop and I could show all the stuff. And he's kind of shy. He still kind of sucks at it all the time.
Only
you know,
on
wait,
horses
we have
this morning.
A moment.
We are the only radio show this morning in the world talking about this topic. I guarantee you. But we used to have one of our working students at the farm, that, and Jennifer will know who this is, that used to love to clean sheets. She just loved it. I thought it was disturbed, actually, to be honest with you. How much she likes cleaning sheets.
Yeah, you're like, you might talk to someone about that.
You're not supposed to love it, okay?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to love it. It's disturbing.
She didn't like it. Well, yeah. So this, where can people find this wonderful DVD about schmutz and sheets cleaning?
You can go to my website. So on my website, you can go to shaunakarish.com or you can go to on-target-training.com. So need those hyphens, and it makes it a little confusing, but either one. But then spelling Karish can be a little confusing, too. So there you go.
Okay. I have to ask Jamie's opinion, though, on something here.
Uh-huh.
Jamie, so now we are getting up to the holidays time, and, you know, we try and help the horse husbands out there. I would probably guess that this is not a good gift idea for your wife.
You're asking me that? I find, you know what, it's not that it's not a good gift, because who wouldn't love to have it? But I think that it would be a little bizarre coming from your husband.
That's what I mean, yeah. That's,
okay.
Yeah.
Somebody actually, it was 2 days ago, called, and he ordered it for his daughter and granddaughter.
Oh, my God.
Great. There's a gift that every daughter's going to love.
That's weird, too.
So I would say, if you're a guy out there, go with the You Can Train Your Horse to Do Anything book and save the DVD. You know, just don't buy it as a gift.
Save that for Valentine's.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. Perfect.
Perfect Valentine's. There you go. It just says love all over it.
OnTargetTraining.com or ShaunaKoresh.com. Thank you so much, Shauna.
It was a pleasure. It is always fun to wake up with a laugh.
Okay. We'll see you.
Bye.
Yeah, probably not on the gift recommended list for horse husbands out there.
No. Just stay away from that one. Totally, Glenn.
So have you learned anything about how to keep the hawks away or how to keep the squirrels from committing suicide? Have we learned anything yet?
Well, you know what? Judy Shepherd actually just sent me, like, I don't know where this is from, but it is like a study, like a six-page study done on how to keep hawks away from you. So I was right, kind of keeping the CDs hanging in trees, they spin around and then they kind of detract from hawks, they deter hawks. Plastic owls, but then you have to move the owls every 2 or 3 days because the hawks are kind of smart. Well, I'm not climbing on the roof every 2 to 3 days to move owls. So another thing says use wind socks in the shapes of rival birds. Another one is guinea hens, which
what
is not going to happen.
What the heck is a rival bird for a 2-foot hawk?
She gave me a website. To go look it up. I don't.
What is it? One of those prehistoric things out of that movie?
Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl. Is that what you put up?
Yeah, they wouldn't eat many chickens. let's see. Guinea hens. Obviously, your dogs. Maybe I'll just keep let my dogs totally out. I don't know. I'd hate for them to.
You've had bad luck with that before.
Yeah, I'd hate for them to steal Boomer. Not really, but Chad would be pretty mad. the other thing is to try to attract purple martins, which stay in the area with gourd nests. So I need to go get some gourd nests. I don't know. All these things. I just think that my husband's going to leave me because he's going to find 9 chickens in the kitchen. Which
I guess I did get to spend more time in their coop right now. So you figure this problem out.
Well,
you have a nice coop. It's not like you have a crappy coop.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's not like the one you advertised from Neiman Marcus or whatever that one was, $100,000.
Tell them you need one of those now that the hawks are a problem.
I think that might be our next step.
Yeah, yeah. Right, and then the next step is divorce. You know, that's the next step.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a break for Kentucky Performance Products. You know, I had an opportunity to speak to Karen from Kentucky Performance Products yesterday, and she wanted to thank all of our listeners. She said there's been quite a few that have taken advantage of their products to keep their horses healthy, and she appreciates that. And she appreciates everybody that's listening to the Horse Radio Network. Well, one of the products they have is called Joint Armor, so let's hear more about that right now.
Joint Armor from KPP provides your horse with the building blocks necessary to maintain healthy joints throughout his lifetime. Kentucky Performance Products Quality Assurance provides you with the confidence that you are purchasing a safe, high-quality product. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Joint Armor is concentrated and affordable. One jar lasts a whole 75 days. Joint Armor helps maintain fluid motion and flexibility in your horse's joints. It also supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. Learn more about Joint Armor from Kentucky Performance Products and all their other terrific products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
Well, thank you to KPP for continuing their support of Horses in the Morning. Now, you have something that you've been wanting to do for quite some time, and we just have not had the time to get to it, but we have time today. So do you want to do it?
I would love to. This is actually something I found online, and it doesn't say who wrote it. And sadly, I would love to know because I'd love to have this guy on the show because this is somebody that gets it. And this is, it's called A Father's Explanation of Why He Has Horses for His Children. And this is kind of how it goes. may need a little tissue alert. You know, I wanted to read this to my dad. I wanted to send this to my dad and be like, dude, you got it. Even though you didn't really get it, you got it. So you made it happen. So here it goes. My daughter turned 16 years old today, which is a milestone for most people. Besides looking at baby photos and childhood trinkets with her, I took time to reflect on the young woman my daughter had become and the choices that she would face in the future. As I looked at her, I could see the athlete that she was and determined woman she soon would be. I started thinking about some of the girls we knew in our town who were already pregnant, pierced in several places, hair every color under the sun, dropouts, drug addicts, and on the fast track to nowhere, seeking surface identities because they had no inner self-esteem. The parents of these same girls have asked me why I waste, in air quotes, the money on my horses so my daughter can ride. I'm told she'll grow out of it, lose interest, discover boys, and all kinds of things that try to pin the current generation's slacker label on my child. I don't think it'll happen. I think she'll love and have horses all of her life. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she has compassion. She knows that we must take special care of the very young and the very old. We must make sure those without voices to speak of their pain are still cared for. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she learned responsibilities for others than herself. She learned that regardless of the weather, you must still care for those you have the stewardship of. There are no days off just because you don't feel like being a horse owner that day. She learned that for every hour of fun you have, there are days of hard, slogging work you must do first. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she learned not to be afraid of getting dirty and that appearances don't matter to most of the breathing things in this world we live in. Horses do not care about designer clothes, jewelry, pretty hairdos, or anything we put on our bodies to try to impress others. What a horse cares about you are your abilities to work within his natural world, and he doesn't care if you're wearing $80 jeans when you do it. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she learned about sex and how it can enrich and complicate lives. She learned that it only takes one time to produce a baby, and the only way to ensure babies aren't produced is not to breed. She learned how babies are planned, made, born, and sadly sometimes die before reaching their potential. She learned how sleepless nights and trying to outsmart a crafty old broodmare could result in getting to see, as non-horse-owning people rarely do, the birth of a true miracle. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she understands the value of money. Every dollar can be translated into bales of hay, bags of feed, or farrier visits. Purchasing non-necessities during lean times can mean the difference between feed and good care or neglect and starvation. She has learned to judge the level of her care against the care she sees provided by others and to make sure her standards never lower and only increase her knowledge as it grows. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she has learned to learn on her own. She has had teachers that cannot speak, nor write, nor communicate beyond body language and reactions. She has learned to read her surroundings for both safe and unsafe objects, to look for hazards where others only might see a pretty meadow. She has learned to judge people as she judges horses. She looks beyond appearances and trappings to see what is within. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she has learned sportsmanship to a high degree. Everyone that competes fairly is a winner. Trophies and ribbons may prove someone a winner, but they do not prove that someone is a horseman. She has also learned that some people will do anything to win, regardless of who it hurts. She knows that those who will cheat in the show ring will also cheat in every other aspect of their life and are not to be trusted. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she has self-esteem and an engaging personality. She can talk to anyone she meets with confidence because she has to express herself to her horse in more than words. She knows the satisfaction of controlling and teaching a 1,000-pound animal that will yield willingly to her gentle touch and ignore the more forceful and inept handling of those stronger than she is. She holds herself with poise and professionalism in the company of those far older than herself. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she has learned to plan ahead. She knows that choices made today can affect what happens 5 years down the road. She knows that you cannot care for and protect your investments without savings to fall back on. She knows the value of land and buildings, and that caring for your vehicle can mean the difference between easy travel or being stranded on the side of the road with a four-horse trailer on a hot day. When I look at what she has learned and what it will help her become, I can honestly say that I haven't wasted a penny on providing her with horses. I only wish that all children had the same opportunities to learn these lessons from horses before setting out on the road to adulthood. The end.
Wow, there's so much there, isn't there?
Oh my gosh, isn't that fantastic? I just love it. Like I said, I want to go hug my dad, you know, right now and be like, read this, because you were right the whole time, but you just, you didn't put it in words, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, he was doing it because he, you know, it was the right thing for him to do, but he didn't maybe think about all the things that it accomplished.
I think that he did it because I drove him crazy if I didn't.
Because you're a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Because my daughter grew up with horses, she shut up. Daddy, I want a pony.
Sentence.
Daddy, I want a pony. Daddy, I want a pony.
One sentence.
Yeah.
His poem's one sentence. Shut her the hell up.
Oh, God, get her a pony. So leave me alone.
That was beautiful, though. I don't know who wrote that. I wish we could credit somebody. But,
I know.
Very good. That was very nice. And very well read. I didn't think you were going to make it through that whole thing. You're getting better, Jamie.
I did. Don't ask me to read the last chapter of Black Beauty again, though. Dear God.
I've got to tell you a funny story. Last night, we were recording the dressage radio show, and Phillips, one of the co-hosts from Canada, he's a Grand Prix dressage rider, and he went to see War Horse, the play, and he absolutely loved it. He said, you know, it's so much better than the movie, which we all agreed was kind of crap. So he, you know, he loved the play. You know, he said everything everybody else has said about the play. And then he made a comment. It's like, oh, man, you're going to lose your man credentials now. He said, yeah, it was almost as good as the Black Beauty movie. Like, oh, my God. Take it back.
Wow. Who is this? This is a guy?
Yeah, it was Philip from the host of the dressage radio show. I said, you're going to lose all your man cred. And it was funny because he said, look, I'm a guy in dressage. I think that's already gone.
I was going to say, is he single? Like, what is the deal?
No, he's engaged, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like him more now.
Well, you'll get to talk to him because we'll be recording our all hosts episode and he'll be on it. He'll be there. So you can bring that up with him.
Yeah, I will. Hey, I've got a comment to somebody who's not listening but just read our Facebook page and made a comment. I said, I need help. I had 3 hawks on my property yesterday, and one got a chicken of mine. Any idea how to keep them off my property? My husband's going to leave me if he finds 9 chickens in the house. And some people, Robin Coblin, put a couple, like, helpful things. I don't know why people clicked the like. I need advice, not your likes. And then Becky McKenna wrote, obviously not listening, I had to laugh. Sorry about the woman's problems, but I'm trying to draw them to our property. We need gopher control. Well, listen, honey. There ain't a single hawk in the world who's going to swoop down, dig a hole underground, go through the tunnels, and get a gopher. It's just not going to happen. Let me tell you something from the woman that has killed 74 gophers, all via traps, all underground, and yet has never to this day seen a live gopher. Good luck.
Well,
get yourself some chickens,
honest,
then you'll get some hawks.
We have found a couple dead in our yard that the hawks have spit out. They don't like them.
How do you know it was hawks spitting them out? It could have been Beaker, your horse.
And
never
on that note, let's take a break for our song. You know what's going on right now, Jamie? In Las Vegas is the National Finals Rodeo. The NFR is happening right now. It's a huge, huge event. And it's sort of become tradition that when that's happening, I play a song about rodeo. And this, in specific, is about the clowns. They actually get selected, of all the clowns across the country, rodeo clowns, for the NFR, which is like the Super Bowl of rodeo. You are selected to be a clown at the NFR, and you have to be chosen, and it's a huge, huge honor. So this is a song by Dan Roberts about the clowns in the rodeo called Hero is a Clown.
Cowboys have their own brand of heroes. Some are living in the shadows, some on the silver screen. They're tough men, straight shooting as a fence rope, standing rugged as a line pole, and few and far between. But there's a man you may not think of as a hero, because his reputation plays it down. But at a rodeo, at Skinny Bull Rider, he'll even tell an outsider his hero is a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the crown. He's as tough as any other, they trust him like a brother, to risk his life to keep them safe and sound. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. Well, don't let that painted face fool you, 'cause he can sure enough school you. He's been down the road, from the finals all the way to Little Britches. He keeps a minute out of stitches, both young and old. So here's to all the boys that work the barrel, and all of you that fight 'em on the ground. When the dust clears, they mark the ride and the crowd cheers. It ain't changed in 100 years. The hero's still a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other, they trust him like a brother, from tie to don to Jim to Freckles Brown. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. For the wild bull rider, the hero's still the clown.
Jamie and I have been raving about the Equity Flex and Fork and Shake and Fork for months now, and some of you might be saying they are just saying all those nice things because they are getting paid to. Well then, let's hear from some other people about what they think. Here is Flex and Fork user Eric Bates, Pasadena owner from Kentucky, on their sturdiness.
I've been using the Flex and Fork for almost a year now. I looked it up on the internet as being a quality-made fork, and that's what I was looking for. I had already replaced two or three, you know, the manure forks that you would get at a farm supply store, and I wanted something of good quality that would last, and this has just been more than I could ever ask for.
With the Shake and Fork, you save time and money by just using this motorized fork every day. Here is Leslie from Horse Nation on how much bedding she is saving using the Shake and Fork.
It really does. It helps you sift through, you know, so you're not throwing out as much. I think Equity says that the forks probably save you $1 a stall per day in between bedding saves and labor, you know, time you're saving, and I believe them for sure.
And then there is our terrific listener, Aubrey, who cleans barns for a living, on how much time she saves with the Shake and Fork.
It's funny because you have to kind of slow down when you do it, just because you have to let the fork shake for a second. And so it kind of took me a little while to say, okay, just slow down, because I tend to do them a little manically anyway, just because I have so many to do. But you do them faster. Even though you're physically moving slower, you're doing the stalls faster. But a couple of the barns that I do use sawdust, and it's amazing how fast I can go through those barns. And it's pretty much cut down half, and I'm using so much less shaving, so it's going to end up saving a bunch of people a bunch of money of the barns that I do.
Okay, you've heard them. It's not just Jamie and I saying this. What are you waiting for? Go to equitymfg.com and get yours today. Equitymfg.com. You will thank us every single day. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is over in the producer chair today. It is Freestyle Friday, and this show is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Well, we have some news for you here today. Did you hear that this has been going around the internet over the last couple of days? Apparently, it was announced late one night on one of the NBA shows that Shaq has bought a horse. Shaquille O'Neal bought a horse.
You know what, Glenn? I was actually up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching the NBA channel, and I totally – no, I didn't. I don't watch the NBA channel, especially at 2 in the morning.
I was going to be really impressed here for a minute.
Yeah, that's right. I was up watching NBA at 2 in the morning. That's what I do. I'm such a fan. Yeah, this is crazy.
Well, if you notice, there's a picture I posted in the show notes, and this is the only picture I've been able to find. Apparently, there are other pictures. I just haven't found them yet. But you'll notice what Shaquille O'Neal, who is about 8'12", what he is riding.
It's got to be a Percheron, right?
Yeah, it's a Percheron. We don't know what kind of horse he bought. I think he was taking a lesson here. Now, the funny part about this picture, it's a good thing, but if you'll notice in the picture, look at his helmet. It really doesn't – he can't find a helmet that fits, I don't think, because
– I was going to say, I recognize that. And actually, the helmet that my husband has, the same one Shaquille O'Neal wears, he'll be encouraged, but his fits a little bit better. I was going to say, how does Tipperary make a helmet Shaquille-sized? Because that's a Tipperary helmet.
Twice the size of everybody else's is how. There's another story, though. Apparently, he bought that. We don't know what horse he bought, and I hope it wasn't like a 14-hand pony.
You know what? Those big old cowboys that ride them 3-hand quarter horses. Yeah, we rope. I'm like, you're killing him is what you're doing. But, yeah. I hope he bought a Percheron or something like that. And wait, can I just point out how awesome it is that Shaquille O'Neal at 10 feet tall is wearing a helmet, by the way? That's awesome.
Do you notice in this picture, and Jennifer can post the picture online, but did you notice in the picture that his legs are almost as tall as the lady holding the horse? Just his legs. Oh, man.
He's a big dude.
There's another story about Shaquille O'Neal, two in one day, Jamie. Do you remember when we talked about Einstein, the world's smallest horse, that little tiny horse that was up in New England and had been on the Oprah Winfrey show and all that stuff, and, you know, the world's smallest living horse and blah, blah, blah. We've talked about him several times. Well, apparently in some article that was done, it compared the little tiny horse to Shaquille O'Neal. So the two were compared in the article. Well, that got word back to Shaq and apparently also Paris Hilton. And they both have inquired about buying Einstein.
Okay.
So
let me point out, Einstein is 20 inches tall.
Yeah.
20 inches tall. That is less than 2 feet tall. That is a tiny little horse. But why would they say he weighs 6 pounds? Oh, he weighed 6 pounds when he was born. Wow.
Yeah, he probably weighs 10 pounds now.
Maybe and Paris Hilton wants to buy him, and so does Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq wants to buy him. Jennifer makes a good point. This horse is probably weighs as much as one of Shaq's feet, probably about the same size. He wants to apparently buy him, although the lady that owns Einstein said they're not selling Einstein to anybody, not even Shaquille O'Neal or Paris Hilton. She's not selling
it. Okay. That's the day two idiots met, when one bazillionaire offers to buy a horse and the horse owner says, I'm not selling. I mean, come on, you could name your price.
Yeah, they said neither O'Neal or Hilton could write a check large enough for Einstein.
Okay, she's an idiot.
Maybe she has all the money in the world. She's been getting a lot of press, though, out of this little tiny horse, let me tell you. She was on Oprah Winfrey's show with this horse.
But she's not going to get on Oprah twice, so might as well sell. I mean, you have gone to the pinnacle of the utmost, with women, okay? You've been on the Oprah show. You met Oprah because of your horse. Sell the horse. Get $1 million. Give it away to horse charities.
There you go.
Yeah.
Speaking of horse charities, if you're in East Tennessee, apparently, this was in thehorse.com, so it has credibility. The operator of East Tennessee Horse Rescue is warning owners that a man claiming to be purchasing horses for that rescue is an imposter. Nina Margetson, founder and operator of Horse Heaven in near Knoxville, actually where Leslie Wiley lives, that does our Horse Nation report, said on December 1st she learned through a telephone inquiry that someone was answering horse-related Craigslist postings claiming that he was authorized to purchase and pick up animals for the rescue. Now, that's getting pretty – that's really low. And you know where those horses are going.
Let me just tell you, what rescue buys horses? Like, that should be your first warning sign. Rescues don't buy horses. They're given horses. They're rescues.
Well, apparently he's making the calls, and, you know, there are a lot of – look at the people that write really bad ads, and you're wondering if they would think about that.
You make a good point.
So she said to just keep your eyes open. If there's anybody that calls you and you're in that area saying they're from Horse Haven Rescue, she said call Horse Haven first and verify. So that's a good idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's that time, Glenn. I think it's time to do some really bad ads. And what is the prize for the winner of really bad ads today?
The prize for the winner of really bad ads today is a Stud Muffin gift pack, a holiday gift pack from Stud Muffins. Of course, Stud Muffins are the ultimate horse treat. Actually, we got Helena to try some.
Firm but squishy.
We got Helena to try some, and she said her horses just absolutely love them. We haven't found a horse yet. You have all those horses at the jail, and there wasn't one that turned its nose up at this treat, was there?
You know what? The last time I was in prison, which was just this past week, we had the Stud Muffins out, and this sounds so weird, but it was weird. It was very bizarre. We couldn't catch one of the horses, so, you know, you go get the Stud Muffins, and they'll come to you all of a sudden. And so I had the officer holding the bag, and the bag was open, and he's like, man, this smells really good. I'm like, yeah, it smells really good. He's like, no, these smell really good. I'm going to try one. Four male officers lined up and each took a bite of Stud Muffins themselves.
And?
Well, of course it doesn't taste good to us. It tastes like sweet feed, which they were like, I guess for a horse treat, not bad. But it's not like you're going to die. You know, you're not going to put them in your cereal or anything.
They were bored that day, weren't they, Jamie? It was a boring day at the gym.
It does not matter your place in life. It does not matter how old you are. It does not matter what anything. Boys are going to be boys, especially when they get together and they start daring each other. Dude, I'll do it if you do it. I'll taste it if you taste it.
Prison awesome. Guard approved. Stud Muffins. Yeah. Prison guard. Oh, God. Be careful how you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Stud Muffins is doing a contest, and this runs through February the 15th. And what they want to do is identify the horse that is the biggest Stud Muffin fan. So it's the ultimate Stud Muffin fan contest. And what they want you to do is do a video, write a story, do pictures, whatever you can do. And you submit it on the Stud Muffin Facebook page. And it's what they want to show is how crazy your horse is for Stud Muffins. So get creative. The video would probably be great if the horse does tricks or, you know, will run your butt over to get Stud Muffins, whatever. If it's funny and can prove how big a fan your horse is of Stud Muffins, then send it in. And this is what they're giving away. This is unbelievable, actually. They're giving away 12 90-ounce bags of Stud Muffins that will be sent three times a year. So that is a $450 worth of Stud Muffins that you're going to receive over a year for winning this contest. That's 12 90-ounce bags. That's a lot of Stud Muffins.
No, I think when you get up to 90 ounces, you should start using pounds. because that stud muffin bag is pounds. It is so heavy, that big bag. Oh my gosh.
And the runner-up prizes, there'll be four of those, and they also receive 90-ounce bags of stud muffins, $150 value. So get your entries in. Just search for stud muffin horse treats. Yeah, be sure to put that. Helena, we were doing the show the other day, and she says, I'm going to look up where the stud muffins website is, and she types it in, and she gets real quiet for a while. And I said, Helena, are you there? She said, do you know what you get when you type in stud muffin and nothing else into Google? So she was enjoying herself. She said it was lovely visuals, but you probably want to type in stud muffin horse treats into Facebook to just be safe.
Remember we actually went over that with her, like, don't Google stud muffin. Just don't do it unless you're a girl and it's fun.
but that's what they win today is the gift pack for this.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, we're doing things a little bit different this week, simply because we couldn't decide, and we're going to let it just happen organically. And what that is we have not picked a winner. We have not picked a winner, and we are going to read through all of the ads. And, you know, usually, like, sometimes they catch you by surprise. Like, the fourth one will be hysterical, and it's actually funnier than the one we picked for a winner. So we're not going to pick the winner until we're completely done reading them, and we decide which one was the funniest. Does that sound fair, Glenn?
Sounds fair. Sounds fun. Let's do it.
This is what happens when you give me the task of choosing the winner. I'm not picking.
Yeah, she wasn't deciding anything this morning. It was too early. She hadn't had her coffee, and she's pregnant. So all of those things right there.
I don't even get coffee anymore. That really sucks. I've been doing this without coffee this whole time. The
you can't
smell
have
of
coffee?
Well, I guess you can, but the smell of coffee just, no.
Why do women have children?
I don't know. I told Chad, I'm like, well, this is it, man. This better be a good one because this is all you getting. All right. Here we go. This first one was sent in by Rachel Mitchell. Rachel, I am angry at you because there is not one lick of punctuation in this entire thing. So here we go. Pretty chestnut mare, $1,000 on Yorkshire Drive. She's a tall horse, so she is for young, tall people. She is calm at all times. She is good in the lead ropes and respects any bit we always ride her bareback. We use her for healing and team roping, but she is good on trail rides if you guys care about children, but they like horses. She is for you guys that want pure safety for your kids. And for kids that like beauty pageants, she is calm and pretty. She is used to being around 12 years of age, but looks 3-year-old mare in very good shape. Again, she is for people that can reach and ride on a tall horse. I am about 5 feet tall, and her withers are 3 inches taller than me. So call. I need to sell her, please. Young, tall people. What the hell did I just read?
So let me clarify this. If you're an old, tall person, you can't buy this horse?
Nope. She only likes young, tall people for this horse, and only if you like beauty pageants.
Is this a personal ad, do you think, that went in the wrong section?
I don't know why you wouldn't say, I'm 5 feet tall, and her withers are 3 inches taller than me. Can you not figure out what that is in hands?
By the way, that isn't a very big horse.
No.
I love that. She's a tall horse, and it's for young, tall people.
And she's 5 feet plus 3 inches taller than me. Seriously, idiot. Okay, do the next one. That's pretty good.
I have two of them. Real quick ones. Robin Donahue sent this first one in. This is for a quarter horse, $500. I got two quarter horse ones here. This one's out of Texas. Have a quarter horse for sale. 500 cash green to ride male, 4 years old, or trade for pony or goats. Let me know what you have, or female horse. Yep, cash
what?
Green. Apparently, this person will not take cash unless it's green. Just saying. Quarter horse for sale, $1,000, near 8th Street, wherever that is. And this is Gemma, our birthday girl. A four-year-old girl quarter horse for sale. She is tamed and meltable. Asking a thousand. This one also came out of the personal sex.
Journey really bad ads today.
Is tamed and mountable.
You can mount her. All right, Gemma also sent this one in. Tri-colored bay paint stallion. Ooh, sounds nice. Tri-colored bay paint stallion. $300? Let's see. Four-year-old tri-colored bay stallion. Dam is full Tennessee Walker. Sire was half Tennessee Walker. This stallion is not broke. He is gentle, but not broke to ride. He has a halter on, but he not broke. He has not been on a trailer. I do not want to sell him, but I do not have the time to train him. He is a sweet horse and would make a beautiful riding horse or excellent stud for mares. Serious inquiries only because I do not have time to chat on the phone. If you are interested in him, bitch, excuse me, please call and make an appointment to see him. Leave a message if no answer.
God. I don't have time for you. Do not call me. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah,
tough to sell a horse that way.
God.
And, oh, by the way, was that one broke, Jamie?
He is not broke. All caps.
Oh, okay. Got it. I wasn't clear on that.
I want to know, too, I don't understand, like, what is the sales kind of tactic that you're using when you say, I don't want to sell him, but? Everybody always writes that. I really don't want to sell him, but I don't have time for him. I don't like him. He's an unbroke stallion, and he's a three-quarters Tennessee walking horse. What good is he? He's paint, and he's worthless. But he's I don't want to sell him for $300.
Just to keep the dirty theme up going today, because it seems to be that kind of Friday. It's Freestyle Friday, and every ad's been dirty so far. The sentence says, make a beautiful riding horse or excellent stud for mares. Could he be a stud for something else? Just
yeah.
Saying. Yeah.
Exactly. That's over-detailing right there.
Beth has sent this one in. For sale horses, $200. By this way, this is all in capital, so I'll back up here a little bit. I have a six-month-old filly. She is a Arabian. Oh, yeah. She is Arabian Tennessee Walker Cross, and her mom is full-blood Arabian. She has papers. She is better bred than my lab. $400 package deal or $200 each. They are not broke. Hey, Jamie, they're not broke. And I do have more horses to sell. We'll be having more Cattle-hoo-hoo puppies. What?
Okay.
Are we talking about horses or puppies, or what are we talking about here?
I don't know, but the dogs are not broke. Whatever.
And then I love how this. I have a six-month-old filly. She is Arabian and a Tennessee Walker, and her mom is full-blood Arabian. But then she says she has papers, and then she talks about both of them. And I'm going, well, is one for sale? Is both for sale? And I didn't know that labs had Cattle-hoo-hoo puppies.
I'm looking at this, and it's like, I have an Arabian Tennessee Walker. The Arabian is full-blooded. She has papers. She's better bred than my lab. Why the hell did you breed your well-bred mare to a Tennessee Walker? Why? Freaking geld the horses. Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Stop breeding. That horse is going to be confused, and nobody's going to want it for the rest of its life because it's half-gated, so it's probably going to pace, which is really uncomfortable, worthless. Stop doing it. All right, Beth also sent in the next one. Oh, my favorite. Yay, just in time for Christmas. Oh, the next one's Christmas, too. This is fantastic. You guys, we are helping you get your Christmas shopping done early. And this is in the fantastic, beautiful, sunny locale of Roswell, New Mexico. Just in time for Christmas. Thanks, Beth. I am open to all offers, so don't be afraid to make one. Husband said, no more till I sail one or two and need to get me a barrel horse. Now, if you're looking for a barrel prospect, 2012 Dun Tobiano, registered name is Dun 8, a PB Cup. Bowling date, 3-9-2012. He was in the drill team in Padres, Lowe's, and Halter Broke Halls. You name it, he's that gentle. I have pony him all over. Breed to do it all. Reigning working cow on the top, speed show, and reigning on the bottom. This colt has the foundation pedigree that champions are made of, and boy, does his pedigree show. This colt can really move. He's cowry, catty, quick, agile, yet elegant and classy with a ton of speed to burn. He's got a huge hip and butt, a powerful chest and shoulder, flawless legs with strong, thick bone. He's got it all. Pedigree, athleticism, confirmation, and a ton of pretty. Serious inquiries only. Please, thanks for looking. $1,000. Wow.
It's another personal ad.
Let's
change
it
a little bit. And change it up to, I would like in a man, a guy with a huge hip and a butt, a powerful chest, shoulders, and flawless legs with strong, thick bones. He's got to have pedigree, athleticism, confirmation, and he's got to be pretty. You can just change it around.
This would be more a man looking for a woman. I want a woman with a huge butt, a big, powerful chest, flawless legs, and a ton of pretty. I mean, come on, pig. Jeez.
And I'll pay $1,000 for her. Come on down.
$1,000. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, I was waiting for the, you know, at the end of car dealership ads where they're like, tax, tag, title, need not apply, blah, blah, blah. That's what I was waiting for at the end of that ad.
Let's see how we can make the next one dirty. Tony Gelding seeking friend for Christmas. This sounds like we can't make this dirty at all. This is like too squishy here. All right. Exceptionally happy, fun, 11-year-old Tony Gelding for sale. Buster is approximately 44 to 48 inches tall. That's 11 to 11 and a half hands. And he's exceptional trail or backyard ponies for riders of any age. He's 11 hands. He has a very thick mane and tail, great feet, is extremely neat in his stall, a very easy keeper, and he is good for the vet and the farrier. This sounds like the perfect pony. He was ridden by 4-H kids all summer, but also has ridden bareback by adults. My God. And used by the kids to give pony rides to smaller children. He is a very, this is where it gets, this is where you read between the lines, people.
This is it.
Yeah. This
like
is where it goes.
Going downhill.
He is a very forward pony, not lazy at all. He keeps right up with the horses on trail rides, and my horse walks really fast. He just loves to go.
Run away, run away.
Can we spell the word bolt, B-O-L-T, bolt?
This is a read between the lines ad right here. I mean, God.
Perfect for Christmas for somebody of any size, but maybe not Shaq, seeing it's only 48 inches tall. He has not been shown, and he does not trailer well. He did fine when I brought him home in the stock trailer, but he panics once he's in a closed space. Like most ponies, he can be a little pushy or impatient, like most ponies, but he is usually only if he thinks he's going to be left behind. He is slightly buddy sour if the other horses are not within sight. Thus the bolting. He has been turned out with mares and geltings and gets along with everyone. Unfortunately, where he is now, everyone picks on him. He's such a sweetie. I feel bad for him. Buster has tons of personality and loves attention. I really want to find him a new best friend for Christmas. $750 includes delivery, and apparently within 50 miles they're going to walk him there because he won't go in the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. So it starts out good, exceptional, great pony, easy keeper, blah, 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 and then it starts to go downhill. Okay, so they tell you everything, and by the way, he bolts. He won't load in the trailer. He's claustrophobic. He's pushy, so he does not respect any child's space, so he's going to run over your child. He's buddy sour. He does not get along with most any horse because everybody picks on him because he's the bottom of the totem pole. He has tons of personality, which means he probably bites. So good luck, Santa Claus. Getting him a
Merry
Christmas,
everybody.
Yeah. Woohoo! All right, now Samantha Saunders sent this one in, and this is just bizarre. I almost want to call. If she didn't include the number, I'd have called, because I just have to see what the male English Mastiff crossed with Chihuahua crossed with Boston Terrier puppies look like. $250, ready to go, have shots, and dewormed. What does a English Mastiff Chihuahua Boston Terrier look like? It's a Mahuahua Rrr. It's a very fancy breed. Mawawar. There you go. Robin.
I do hope that the Chihuahua wasn't the mom.
Oh, dear God.
Can you
imagine?
Bless
their little heart. Bless her heart. I didn't even think about that because you're dirty today. It's not the ads. It's you. The next one just goes to prove that people will try to do anything to make money. I don't know what they do. I don't even understand what the ad is about. But again.
Hold it. Jennifer just wrote, Christmas canceled after Santa run over by bolting pony.
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. So Robin Kane sent this one in. And again, I don't understand what they're doing for a living. The title of the ad, for the mere fraction of the cost of $75, Goat Adoption and Purchasing Agent. I am putting together a larger fire prevention herd flock of goat sheep. I am an experienced herdsman as well as Sherry and her 21-year-old daughter. We have good stock trailers. Our sheep are also at the solar array.
What?
That's
did you just say?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I can't even make that dirty. I don't even know what you said.
But for $75, I'm almost willing to find out.
I've got it. I know what this one is. This ad was actually originally written in Klingon, and they hit Google Translate, and this is what you got.
Well, Sherry and her 21-year-old daughter may be able to answer some questions if we knew who the hell they were.
I just don't get that one. Hey, I'm going to skip the next one for we'll bring that one back next week. All right, why don't we go right to Aubrey?
Okay, Aubrey sent this one in. Fantastic. This is sales tactic at its best. Crosby 16-inch pre-St. George dressage saddle. Holy cow, I actually would call on this because it's only $250. Getting low scores on your dressage test, maybe it's not the horse. Maybe it's not the rider. It could be your saddle. You spend so much for the coat, gloves, shirt, tie, belt, breeches, and boots. It's time you had a quality saddle. This saddle has buttery soft knee rolls and long billets that allow you to read the horse through the saddle without the bulk that usual cheaper saddles have. Once reading those signals, send smooth correction signals back to that horse without the communication being mixed up by the bulk that usual cheaper saddles have. Light pipe in between the seat and skirt that sets you apart from the rest. Once a Crosby is part of your dressage test, you are on your way to score a possible 10 just on your salute. This saddle comes with necessary,
just the saddle.
No, you don't even need to ride the dang horse. Just put the saddle on and let him go. He'll go out there and do all of it. This saddle comes with many extras, including girths, a sturdy canvas carrier. Purchase in the month of May and get a free custom size 8 ladies black dressage boots valued at $80. Wow, take the saddle. By the way, a Crosby pre-St. George saddle should cost more than $250. I'm saying this is hot. This is a stolen saddle.
But
I'll tell you what, come with.
I guarantee you Chris from Equestrian Collections is calling this person right now to write the copy for products on her website.
No kidding. It made me hungry. It has buttery soft knee rolls. I want some buttery soft rolls right now.
We could change this one, you know. We could put it in the personal section. Once you start talking about buttery soft rolls. And long billets, you can make it dirty. Doreen Rose, free Appy Appaloosa miniature colt. Wait a minute. A free Appy Appaloosa miniature/mini colt. It's a miniature mini colt.
Obviously.
To experienced home only. Well, there.
Uh-oh,
right.
That's a bad start. Oh, boop, boop, boop. Warning.
Alert. Needs gelding. Wait a minute. To experienced home only. Needs gelding. He is 2 years and fully dropped. God, the ads today. What is it with the ads today? And you know what? It all started with sheath cleaning, and it's gone downhill since. Needs gelding, 2 years old and fully dropped, and training before he can be a child/novice mini. He is feeling his hormones. He also needs updating. What? It's like a software
obviously
package. He needs a,
download,
it's an update.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he needs a new download. Yeah, plug him into your computer. Use a little mini USB drive. Well, worth the effort. Healthy, sound, correct, bite, nice, confirmation. Well, let me read this again. Healthy/sound/correct bite/nice confirmation/colored/rock solid feet. No founder. Must be picked up on a weekday by the 21st. No exceptions. He's only been on a trailer once, and he's yours to load.
That's honest.
Which means he's not getting on. We have changed directions, and he needs a new home as soon as possible. Do not waste our time or yours if you aren't experienced. First come, first serve. Don't ask us to hold him.
Probably not going to happen.
Don't ask us to hold him because this thing's nuts.
So the thing is, like, we went a different direction. We're going with a horse that's not insane. He needs to be gelded. He needs training before he can be a child novice horse. Yeah, you think? You
Besides,
think he should be trained?
And he's not getting on your trailer, and you better come out here by the 21st or we're shooting this sucker, is exactly what you read between the lines here.
Exactly. All right, Tammy Schreiber posted this, and she said that, shockingly, this woman is going to college. How did she pass the entrance exam with the grammar and spelling? Okay, this is going to be fun. Horse for sale, $500, Levine, Arizona. Oh, right up the road. So proud. And it does not surprise me if there's bad spelling. All right. Oh, good. No punctuation for a while. Hello, I have a 2-year-old sorrel colt that I am selling. He has a saddle on, and he lunges and picks up his feet, and he stands for the farrier. He has been in a trailer about 2 times, so I think a stock trailer would be good. He loves to, the letter B, brushed and is petted and is easy to catch and handled when haltered. I have pointed him around the desert, didn't mind, all followed along. He would make someone nice horse when finished. Must downsize, going to college soon. Girl, you better hit the books. Text, that was me. She didn't write that. Text or call for more info. R more picks are to come see him free. Oh, you can come see him for free. Text would be good. I'm always working. Would, what do you do for a living, woman? Would trade for a good riding horses, quarter horses, age 5 to 7, color doesn't matter, must the letter B broke to ride, would the letter B cool if it dose barrels and roping, but not ness carry. Thanks for reading. Have a good day.
She's getting rid of her horse because she's going to college, but she'll trade for another horse.
Exactly. She's downsizing to a better horse.
To a better horse. Oh, this is so tough. There were so many good ones today.
I know. I really liked the first one we did, Rachel Mitchell. I really liked that one.
I liked that one, too. That was probably my favorite, to be honest with you, just because it was so bad.
Yeah, and Gemma's the tricolored paint stallion. That was
not broke. Not broke. Yes. Yes.
Let's see. Beth had a really good one, too, with the Just in Time for Christmas. A ton of pretty. I'm going to go with Beth. Just in Time for Christmas. It's got a huge hip and butt, big, powerful chest.
Yeah, we did have fun with that one, didn't we? We did have fun with that one. Yeah. All right,
and
Beth, you're the winner. We'll go with Beth. Beth, you want to get your information over to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Send your address. And we'll get your package of stud muff. What is it? Today it's just all got a theme going. We'll get your package. Even the prize has a theme. Stud muffins for you today, Beth. The Christmas package. So we'll get those right out to you so you can either give them as gifts or just feed them to your own horse and not give them away at all. You did all the work. Why should you give them away?
All right. I just Googled stud muffin. I'm hitting images. What is the first thing that comes up? There's a shirtless man holding a muffin that is wearing a cap, chef hat, and an apron, and he's wearing no other clothes. So, yeah, we get that guy.
That's it for this week, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We really appreciate it. We appreciate everybody that listens. The numbers in this show are still going up. After 2 years, you know, we missed our anniversary, Jamie. We're really bad.
I know.
It was November 1st. We were 2 years, and now we're into our third year, and we totally didn't even remember.
Didn't you miss your wedding anniversary this year, too?
No, not this year, but we both missed it at times. We had to celebrate it a month later because we both forgot it.
Yeah, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, oh well. Well, we'll be back again next week with some more great stuff. Is next week when we have our big singer coming on, Jennifer?
Oh, let's see here. Next week. Yes, next week we have our American Idol winner. Or no, she was top 10. Coming on, yes.
Christy Lee Cook. Yep, she'll be on with us next week live here. She was supposed to be on Monday, but she got some like little award show to go to in L.A., so she couldn't come on with us. So
lame.
Yeah, I know. We have to wait till Wednesday now. But Christy Lee Cook on Wednesday, I think, of next week. So we'll talk to everybody then. You have a great weekend, Jamie. Be safe out there.
Thank you very much, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld. Seriously. And keep your chickens in the house. The hawks are out.
All right. Buy a shotgun, Jamie. Buy a shotgun.
I have one, but I'll go to jail. I need an air horn.
There you go.
That'd be good.